That was Understanding from Leon Anderson's Live at Snook Harbor. Adjusting my mic here. Now I'd like to feature DSFE Red Leafs hockey at this time. On Valentine's Day 2026, the BCIHL Red Leafs hosted the Uvic Vikes at the historic Queen's Park Arena, located in New West, where the puck drop was a few minutes after 7 p.m. SFU opened the scoring 5:58 into the game as Alec Pettingale scored his second on the Uvic starter Jacob Drapeau. However, the Vikes struck back just 10 seconds later as Josh Green scored his third on the Red Leafs starter John Aiden, and both teams ended period 1 tied at 1, with SFU outshooting Uvic 12-11. After the Red Leafs failed to score On their first two power plays in the second, Tanner Turnus was penalized for cross-checking at 11:16, and the Vikes' Andrew Casalotto scored on the man advantage at 12:27, as Juvic got its first lead on SFU at 2-1. The Red Leafs tied the game at 2 late in period 2, as Pierce White fired a puck through the Vikes' Jacob Drapeau for his 11th with just 53 seconds left in the second, as both teams ended period 2 tied at 2, with Juvic outshooting SFU 16-9 in the frame with a 27-21 shot advantage after 40 minutes. Andrew Casalotto gave the Vikes a 3-2 lead 7:49 into the third, his second of the night on the Red Leafs' John Aiden, who also surrendered Lucas Burns' 7th at 11:35. SFU's Ben Ruthven was penalized just 11 seconds later, and Andrew Casalotto scored his third of the night on the man advantage just 18 seconds later for his 12th at 12:08, as Juvic opened a 3-goal cushion with a 5-2 lead. Zion Lavoie finished the scoring with 2:28 left as he scored on the Red Leafs' empty cage, and the Vikes won 6-2 at New West Queen's Park Arena. Juvic were led by Andrew Casalotto with 3 goals unassist, Zion Lavoie with a goal unassist, and Dario Zico with 2 assists, while Jacob Drapeau made 29 saves on 31 shots for the win. Meanwhile, SFU were led by Alec Pettingill with a goal unassist, and John Aiden surrendered 5 goals on 35 shots in the defeat.
Hi, it's Steve Chong. Tonight is Valentine's Day 2026, February 14th. I'm in the coach's room for the SFU BCA IHO Red Leafs, and I'm interviewing
Peter Lamberti-Childs,
the head coach for the SFU BCA IHO Red Leafs, who fell to the Juvic Vikes 6-2. Quite a contrast from the first game between the two at this Queen's Park Arena 3 months ago. First of all, what happened tonight?
Well, I thought we had a good start in the first period and kind of fell off a little bit in the second period. And then while the guys could not stick to the game plan, and then we did some major mistakes on the change, what cost us a 3-2. And that was kind of a very important goal, I think, for Juvic. And you know, we got the 4-2, turning pucks over on the blue line, right? We're handling pucks and not playing the way we talked about in the game plan. But yeah, it was not a good game in the last period.
Explain what happened in the third, because the game was tied at 2 after 40 minutes, then the Vikes exploded for 4 goals.
Well, like I said, the 3-2, I think that was the tipping point of the game, right? So we had a bad change and we didn't come in place, and then we just rewatched it on the video, right? And then Haskett's in the slot, and then the player in the slot is wide open. And we got too many goals the last few games this week. We've been talking, we've been training. We kind of tried to get the players to understand that we have to take care about, especially the slot area. And then if you have a bad change, right, and then I was in place, and then passes get in the slot, and then those guys are too good, and then they score goals, right, and all of a sudden you go down again against a good team, and then it's another big mistake on the blue line from Brown, where we turn the pucks over, and then it's a breakaway, and then it's a 4-2, and then it's almost impossible to win against Juvic, right? You need to stay in the game, you need to have that 2-2, and so what I learned from this team, that some players, they, if it gets really tight, they cannot stick with the game plan, and then they're losing complete the concept, right? And then they do some very, very weird stuff, and that cost us many times this season already a game, right? So I'm not happy with some of the players. If they have to play under pressure, they kind of really kind of desperate again and not executing the game plan anymore, right? And from my side, it's not much I can do anymore, right? Either way, you stick with the game plan, we training the certain way, we train the way how we want to play, and then we come to the game, and then some players just kind of, yeah, they're losing complete the concept and doing something what they not should do, but then at this level you get punished. That's what it is, right? And then you would get those goals, and then they get, of course, they get all of a sudden they get foot on the gas pedal, and we play on our fucking heels. Right? Oh, that's what it is.
How did the crowd, where a lot of people were for the Juve fights because some of the players, impact the game?
Well, I think it's quite a few from the Juve team. They are from lower mainland. I know a few players who train with me during the spring and summer. And I know that their parents probably come and watch the game too, right? So it's not that all the players from the island are players from the island. It's quite a few from lower mainland. And I assume that they had their parents coming to the game too today.
How will you fix the BCIHL Red Leafs power play?
Well, like I said, the last few weeks we had actually power play was, I think last week we had 4 or 5 goals in power play, and then even in Long Lake we had 1 or 2 power play goals. And today we talked about the power play units. Even they looked a bit shaky. Even we've been kind of training this week our power play, and the practice, the power play looked actually pretty bang on, and I know that the players been very confident. And but like even today, some of our plays what we've been trying to run didn't work out because of miscommunication, bad passes in the feed, not on tape, and then slows it down. And of course, you're playing against Juvik, it's not a bad team, right? They had a really good PK units out, even good forecheck, and so we could not really kind of handle that pressure. And that usually is sometimes if you're not making good passes, right? The pass has been too much in the feed and backhand, and like I said, we could not execute it quick enough tonight.
Two more questions. What is your opinion of John Aiden's play tonight?
Well, the goalie had some hard time. The first goal we got, we rewatched it in the intermission, and he lost complete the track of the puck, and he was still kind of staying with the player who made that pass, and then the chop came in, there was an empty net, right? That was definitely a goal that goes on Johnny. And other talents too, right? So, except that the goalies are struggling a little bit lately too. So they had a really good start at the first half of the season, but now we have to find goalies who can help us winning the games again, right? So we have goalie coach out. I will talk to him, to goalie coach on Tuesday at the practice, and then we go through some of the video clips, some of the goals we got against him from last week, and then hopefully we can help the goalies and fix some stuff. And yeah, like I said, I definitely like to. I have a few players out. So Falchuk is out with an injury the last 3 weeks already, and that's he's missing big time. And then I took some other players out of the lineup. Of course, we had some senior guys tonight for the last home game, so I like to get those guys in the lineup. But I think for next week we will see another lineup. I will change it up for next week.
Finally, what will the BCIHL Red Leafs have to do to defeat the Okanagan Lakers in Kelowna for the second win in 2026?
Well, we have to get back in playing the structure for 60 minutes, right? Not just for one period or for two periods. We have to play 60 minutes, staying with the game plan. We have to execute. I need to get like guys playing like Pierce tonight. Pierce, he was on fire. He helped the team. He was pushing. He was talking in the locker room. And there were some other guys like Brandon and Goya on the back end. They really pushed it hard from that back end. And they try to get the puck in the offensive zone. And like I said, we need to get those guys kind of going. We've been talking about that the last few weeks. Right? For us, it's already kind of playoff time, right? It's we have to win games. And I think we set out the goal that we at least want to finish fourth place, so we have to pick up some wins, and next weekend is a big game for us, and everything out of a win is a disappointment for me, and I think for most of the players on the team here.
Thank you for the interview tonight, and best of luck in Kelowna next Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Hi, it's Steve Chong once again. I'm still in the SFU BCIHL Red Leafs coaches room, right next to the team's dressing room, which is originally for the newest Simon Bellis Junior A team, but obviously they're not playing. The SFU BCIHL Red Leafs play tonight. And in front of me now is
Alec Benningale.
One of the stars in the BCIHL Red Leafs 6-2 loss to the UVic Vikes with a goal and an assist. First of all, what went wrong tonight?
I think we just didn't come to play a full 60 minutes tonight. We were looking strong early, but it looked like we just kind of died off going into the third there. And just weren't playing our roles, weren't doing our assignments, and got away from us.
Tell me about the opening goal you scored.
Yeah, I just got a lucky bounce to the blue line. D-man missed it and looked up and had a bunch of free ice, took it in, saw the 5-hole was open, put it there, and kind of blanked out after that. I was just super excited to get the opener senior night, and yeah.
Tell me what happened in the second period where you assisted on Pierce White's game time goal.
Yeah, it was a good save from John, our goalie. Kicked it right out to me, and Demon tried to pinch up on me. Luckily, he was able to chip it by him for Whitey, and he just made a great play like he always does. He's got a great shot, and thankfully, we got the goal.
White's goal gave the BCIHL Red Leafs a 2-2 tie heading into the second intermission. What happened in the third period where the BCIHL Red Leafs collapsed to the Vikes?
Yeah, I thought that goal from Whitey right before the end of the period gave us a lot of energy. We were feeling good going into the intermission. Early third, thought we were still keeping up, keeping solid, but just after they put in one or two, we kind of died off. We looked like we didn't have enough energy. Guys were straying away from the system. We weren't working as a unit, and just kind of got away from us.
I'd like to delve into your hockey journey. When did you start playing hockey?
I started playing around when I was 7, I think, about 7 years old.
When was the first time you made a rep or a tribal team?
First time I made rep would have been, I must have been 10 or 11. I was playing goalie. I made the A2 team that year, I think. And, yeah.
For which city or municipality?
My hometown, Port Moody.
What was the last team you played for before the BCIHL Red Leafs?
I played in the PGHL for the Granby Steelers, Junior B. I played 3 years there before I joined SFU.
From what I understand, PGHL is now a Junior A league after the British Columbia Hockey League became independent, even though they now have Alberta teams. And the kicker is major junior players can now play in the NCAA Division I. So their fortunes are rougher now, from what I understand. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
No, I think you're right. I'm not too knowledgeable on the topic for sure, but yeah, it's definitely an interesting change, bigger impact than I kind of originally thought for sure. But
two more questions. What is your year of eligibility with the BCIHL Red Leafs?
I have played 3 years here, so I would have two left if I was not graduating this year. So this is my last year.
Oh. So, also, I guess you're not playing for the fourth season?
No, I won't be playing for the fourth season. I'm graduating this fall, so I won't be able to complete all 4 years here.
Okay. finally, the SFU Red Leafs program has been dealt a blow this month with the independent Red Leafs being retired. How do you think that's going to impact the BCIHL Red Leafs going forward?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, it might benefit our team. In the past 3 years, we've kind of struggled. A lot of it's been recruiting. I know my first 2 years, we kind of struggled to even get 20 guys for the team. So I think it'll benefit us a bit. I feel like we're kind of looked at as sort of a B team, which kind of makes it hard to recruit players. But now with just the one team, I think it might be a lot more an attractive program to come play for. So hopefully next year and the next couple of years, we're improving a lot.
Thank you for the interview tonight. Congratulations on becoming the second star, from what I understand. And best of luck against the Okanagan Lakers in Kelowna next Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Here are the current British Columbia Intercollegiate Hockey League standings. 2 points are awarded for a win, with a point for an OT or a shootout loss. The Vancouver Island University are the runaway first at 15-2-0-1, 31 points. University of Victoria, second, 11-6-1, 23 points. The O is for tie, but ties are no longer possible due to shootouts. Logan Lake Miners are third at 7-7-2, 16 points. The Okanagan Lakers, fourth, 16-1, 13 points. And SFU are dead last at 4-13, 8 points.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
I would like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. On February 9th, the SPS Chief, Lauren Lipinski, provided an update on extortions, where he applauded officers in arresting three people suspected of extortions and asked the provincial government for additional police officers. On February 10th, the SPS announced the launch of Project Iris, which takes over the Surrey City's camera registry program that launched in 2016, where homeowners and businesses can register to better assist the SPS in solving crimes. Whenever an incident occurs, the SPS will search the confidential Project Iris database, find out which cameras are in the area, and contact the camera owners for specific recordings. But the owners need to provide their consent. On February 11th, the SPS released their latest newsletter for January and February, where it provided updates on extortion crimes in Surrey, including arresting five men in two separate crimes in January, followed by publishing their photos earlier this month. SPS officers, along with civilian staff, have been helping residents, businesses, via blended investigative and initiative efforts, including Project Assurance, which helps identify, locate criminals, follow with victims, their families, and businesses. On top of launching Project Iris, the SPS has started the Critical Incident Aftercare and Reintegration Program, developed by the SPS Wellness Team and SPS psychologist Dr. Lisa Kitt, to improve the support to officers and civilian staff to better deal with traumatic incidents via providing timely support, recovery time, and path to applicable resources. Furthermore, the SPS provided updates for its transition, as the SPS now provides frontline policing in Wally City Center, where the SFU Surrey campus resides, Newton, and South Surrey, with the RCMP Surrey Provincial Operations Support Unit policing in Cloverdale and Guildford, Port Kells. In January, the SPS added 12 new officers 21 recruits, increasing the officer count to 627 and 1125 total employees. On February 12th, the Surrey Police Board Chief Harley Chapel, who is also the Semiahmoo First Nations Chief, provided a statement on four outgoing members, Sarbit Baines, Christine Moore, Nerissa Allen, and Sonia Palmer, as they're all leaders of Surrey, and not renewing their terms were a surprise, as the BC government never indicated their performances were poor, and some were told that they would be extended. With community priorities that give directions to the SPS, the Surrey Police Board met with various community groups, residents, the Surrey City Council, and concluded their findings in a consultation paper, which was discussed at three SPB meetings in fall 2025, where three priorities were identified: addressing the extortion priorities, completing the police transition, and ensuring a visible SPS presence in the community. According to the Vancouver Sun, on February 13th, the latest numbers are, the latest number for extortions are 51. So there are 51 extortion cases as of, well, the last count. Just a minute, please. Sorry about this. This was in the article of Sukh Dhaliwal, a Liberal MP, who claims that BC needs to designate the agency, as he claims that the CFSEUBC leading extortion cases would be an immediate solution. I believe there are 51 extortion cases. Just a minute, please. I'm almost done. Yeah. On the article which featured Sukh Dhaliwal, a Liberal MP for Surrey, he wants CFSEU to lead the extortions. There are, just a minute, please. I'm almost, sorry. I believe the article also said 51, yep. There are 51 extortion cases in Surrey alone, with Abbotsford also getting hit as well. There have been 29 victims targeted, 17 repeat ones. Thank you for listening to episode 6 of the Steve Chong Show in 2026, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM. The campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 11, it's Julian Taylor's Jukebox.